Are we all on the same page? Now, also, I'm going to go back because when Valerie was speaking in Romans 12, it's in her notes, but she just didn't read this particular verse. Romans 12, 1, and this is Paul's statement from Romans about a reasonable act of service. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you presenting yourself unto the Lord is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, is the point. It's reasonable. And then verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now take note. With that being said, we have to also recognize that you do not just stay neutral. We've heard this said all the time in various different applications, that you don't move forward or you don't just stay neutral. Either you are advancing in the kingdom or you are digressing in the kingdom. You're diminishing in the kingdom.
And by kingdom, not position, but in the knowledge of God.
Yes. All right. And so therefore, we have to know that either I am going one way or another, but I can't just stay still. And even yesterday's revelations don't keep me.
Give us today our daily bread.
There you go. That works. You know, the thing that was coming to my mind was with spiritual growth. I've made this quote before. My wife has made this quote. And this is one I stole from another author. When it comes down to just us moving forward, like when it comes down to physical growth, mental growth, and natural growth, or physical growth, spiritual growth, and mental growth, the way we grow in each way is not interchangeable.
Right.
Okay? They're not interchangeable. What I mean is that the only way one grows mentally, the only way we grow mentally is through study. Make sense?
Or learning.
You're through learning. You got to crack open a book. You got to read the thing and you will grow. Make sense?
Or you get a teacher. You get it in some way.
Yeah. The only way you grow physically is through time. We don't see a 6'2" year old. It takes time. Does that make sense? If time does not elapse, you do not physically grow. Make sense? Now also take note. Again, I said that they're not interchangeable, right? So therefore, if I'm trying to grow physically, I can't read a book on how to do it. It doesn't work. I can read a book as much as I want, but I'm not going to get 6'6" by reading a book. Make sense? I can't figure that out. And so they're just not interchangeable, all right? And also at the same time, you can't learn mental learning. You can't grow just over time. If you don't crack open a book, time may pass and you are just as dumb as you were yesterday as you were the day before.
We were teachers, and so this came up a lot at the end of quarters or at the end of the year, where it would be like, I just don't, like, a parent would be like, I don't understand why they're failing. It's like, well, they didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything.
But it's the end of the year, and it's like, that doesn't change that it's been 10 months of them not doing anything. Just because it's June doesn't mean that they learned anything, unfortunately.
This has nothing to do with the subject, but I used to have students try to lay on their books and be like, maybe through osmosis and mitosis, high concentrated area to a low concentrated area, it's going to get... I'm like, no.
I saw a GIF the other day of this kid, like, going through his book and going... and trying to, like, scoop out the knowledge onto his brain. And I was like, let me know how that works.
Yeah.
Moving on. So, physical growth, function of time, mental knowledge, function of learning.
And spiritual growth is only... And spiritual growth is only a function of obedience. And that one is what we really got to consider. Spiritual growth is a function of obedience. You can't learn spiritual growth. Time does not permit spiritual growth. It's only obedience. And if you don't do what the Lord says, you will not be growing spiritually. Also take note. This is one of the reasons why you can have people who've been sitting in the church for 30, 40 years and they're spiritual babies. Because they have never applied anything that was ever said from the pulpit or anything that they may even read out of the book. You can read this book regularly, and if you don't do what it says, there is no growth to follow. You may have grown in knowledge. Well, guess what? Atheists grow in knowledge. And you will be no better than an atheist. Because you did not apply. How are you supposed to see the power of the Lord unless you actually do what he says to do and watch how he comes through? And again, it's not interchangeable. We don't grow spiritually over time. You don't grow spiritually over learning. And also, obedience is not going to, if I obeyed my mama, I promise you, I'm not going to get any taller. It just doesn't work that way. They're not interchangeable. Are we all on the same page? So once again, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. All right. The bulk of the prayers, now this is actually where we're dialoguing about what we were really hoping to hit off a little bit, because we really were in this place of like growing in prayers where my wife and I were at, but the Lord was bringing all these other things to mind, and a lot of the stuff that we're sharing is actually out of prayer notes that Valerie and I have written, and we're just now getting to that point in light of our conversations and who we are speaking to and what we are talking about, all right? Because a lot of times your soul is made abundantly
clear through the words you say and how you say them.
Right. Now, the Lord, through the New Testament, has prompted the authors of the New Testament, those who specifically who are writing the epistles. You find all these prayers. We call them apostolic prayers. It's just a big word just to say the prayers that the apostles prayed. That's it. And they're normally found in the beginning or the end of each epistle because they're...
The epistles are the letters.
The letters,
for
yes.
Those of you who might not be familiar with that terminology. So starting... I don't count Acts, but...
No, Romans is the first one. Yeah,
yeah, Acts, so like count. Romans... Yeah. All the way to Revelation. Yeah, there's some in there too. But we're not going to count Revelation. There's letters inside of Revelation. So that's what I meant.
Yeah. And so they have these epistles. And the funny thing is, in the context of all of these things, the emphasis on transforming our souls is in just about every single one. And so if it's an emphasis that the Lord has placed in those prayers, I think it definitely should stand as an emphasis in all of ourselves. That when we are praying, not only for ourselves, for one another, but the prayer is often, Lord, renew this 3-pound fallen brain that dictates my behaviors. Amen? Let's read some of these. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. And I'll be brief because I have to give my wife a little bit of time to close out. So Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. And these are like various snippets of the verse, so it's not the whole thing, but... with a spirit of wisdom, or we are seeking the Lord for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
So wisdom, revelation, understanding, knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, those are all soul words.
Yeah, and then also, I have to look at it now because I don't want to quote the rest of it and misquote it. Yeah, I am, and it, just turning pages. Don't even know where I'm going, baby.
We have the same Bible. We bought these in Kansas City. They say Mommy Sykes and Daddy Sykes on them. So I'm watching him flip and going, that's not where you want to go.
Okay, so here we go. I have to look at the whole thing because it's so beautiful at the latter half of it. He says in Ephesians 1:17, starting off at the beginning of it, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I love that. Yeah. The Lord is saying in that verse that we are his inheritance. Yeah. It's like, oh man, that's just like... Yeah. And again, that gives you a context. Like, that's one of the reasons why my life is not my own, because I'm his inheritance. We inherit him and he inherits us. And what is the exceeding greatness of the power towards us who believe according to working of his mighty power. Once again, his power, his strength that is being bestowed upon us. And Paul, in the letter of the Ephesians, was writing that to them, that they would understand these things, that it would take deep root in their soul, in their mind, in their will, and also aid to dictate their behaviors. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Sure, go ahead. Thank you.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now look at that. We take that verse all the time about that we would know the width, the breadth, the depth, the height of the Lord, the love of the Lord. And that was all tied right there in a prayer. That's part of a prayer that we would know these things. And again, that it would aid in the context of how we live our lives. Yeah. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. That your love may abound still more and more, that you may approve of the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense.
Sincere and without offense.
Well, that a preach in this day.
Sincere and without offense. I mean, I most of you have heard at this point, because I'm looking and I see people who I've seen in sermons when I've said it. I took Latin. Sincere comes from sincere, which means without wax. So when they were sculpting, if they made a mistake, you can't go back and add in the marble, right? So we put some wax in to hide the gouges. All right, when we were sculpting with metal, sometimes we put some wax in and then the metal wasn't all the way pure. So wax was used to hide our flaws.
Yeah.
Wax was used to hide mistakes. Wax was used to pull something over on someone and not give them the fullness of what they thought they were buying. Yeah. So when you say sincerity, when you walk in sincerity, you're walking without wax. You're walking in purity, without pure motive, with pure motivations. No desire to hide or to say that you're giving something that you are not in fact giving.
All right. I'm only going to expound on that verse just a little bit more. I'm going to give it back to you for the sake of time.
Okay.
So again, with that sincerity, and we're also talking
like,
and so the thing is, when we, only in the Christian faith, only as believers, does this dichotomies exist, and they both exist and thrive. You can have a passionate hatred towards sin, because Jesus had a passionate hatred towards sin. You've heard me say this time and time again. No one spoke hotter words about sin than Jesus, and no one spoke more about hell than Jesus. Jesus spoke about it all the time, and he talked about him being the judge of it all. But yet, no one also at the same time loved the sinner greater than Jesus did. So therefore, you can, as Jesus did, divorce a sinner from their sin. You can say, I genuinely love this person, though I greatly hate what they do. And earnestly pray in that context. Don't try to mix the things together that ought not to be mixed together. Just leave it alone. I can say I love someone even when justice must be served. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's say somebody loses their life because they were reckless with their life. You can actually reserve your heart to be sorrowful, because a life was lost, and it was a person who was an image bearer of the Lord, even though they squandered their life. Does that make sense? We can actually look at that and still have sorrow for somebody losing their life, whether
instead
in military
of,
or whatever.
Well, they got what they deserved.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happens. Well, we. You get my point. So let it be what it's going to be. Let justice run its course. Does that make sense? And you reserve your heart to love. And even if you're the one who has to be the giver of the justice or the giver of the consequence, treat it just like how you do your kids. Or if you had kids, do it like that. Which means, hey, listen, pow is coming, right? Does that ever affect my love for my child? Nope, not at all. So there you go. I'm sorry. It's just, when my wife went into that sincere piece, I just like, there's certain things that we say, and they sound real good, but it's really dumb. It just is. It's just dumb. Because think about it. If you were on the other side of that, and you heard that, and you knew the person was talking about you, oh, I love you, but I don't got to like you. How does that make you feel on the inside? Therefore, it is insincere. It's not good. Listen, the Lord made it abundantly clear. When his truth is coming out, it's going to produce fruit in you that leads unto righteousness, and that don't do it. That just don't do it. That just makes me kind of frustrated, right? It's just like, eh. And then you just want to say something that's not becoming. Like, I don't like you either. Yeah, that sounds like Jesus. All right, I'm sorry. Baby, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Red. And on that note,
you got it. You
going back to how I started the service. Having divine, well, not started the service, started this chunk. Having divine strength in our soul enables us to walk worthy of the Lord, to express the fruit of the Spirit in every circumstance, and to stand against the works of the flesh. If you don't have strength, I would submit to you that if you find yourself lacking in strength, could it perhaps be because you are not asking for it?
Yeah.
You have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
Okay. These prayers, that the ones that we are mentioning in the epistles, are divinely inspired.
Yeah.
They are written through the work of the Holy Spirit. These prayers are ones that God inspired to be written because those are the ones that he desires to answer. He has these words in here. Let me read my favorite one, Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. If I am praying for that, that's not something I'm just making up. Satan did not inspire me to ask the Lord to be strengthened with all might and understanding and to be patient and long-suffering with joy. Mm. It is from the Lord, and it is a prayer that he desires to answer. So if you are looking for divine strength, then I would say you can use whatever words you want, right? Yeah. Okay, but these are contexts and topics that the Lord has made clear are on his heart for his people. Because when you look through these prayers, if you just look through every, in my Bible, I mark them in green highlighter because they're prayers for life. Okay, so all through the New Testament, I have these prayers marked in green in my Bible. And so if I flip through them, I'm going to be conservative and say 90% of them are about prayers for your heart to be strong, prayers for you to speak clearly, prayers to walk worthy, prayers to be fruitful. And when we talk about being fruitful, the fruit that the Lord talks about is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness,
and self-control. Galatians 5:22.
So if we're talking about being fruitful in our good works, that's what we're praying for. Okay. Yeah. And then a handful of those prayers are prayers for what we would commonly consider intercession topics, or prayers for power and miracles and different things to go. Those are all good things to pray for. However,
the majority
of them are about God, the leaders of the church, praying for the church to be strong in their inner selves, and that is our greatest witness. If we can stand against the work of the flesh and be fully redeemed and fully transformed, fully renewed, I meant to say, and transformed, that is what the Lord is calling us to do in this life, is to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and then from that place to love our neighbor as ourselves. Mm. It is the most important thing for us to get right, is to love him well and to be loved well by him, which means that you got to get some stuff in your soul right, because some of us have stuff that makes us makes it hard for us to receive love, right? Some of us have some junk in our pasts that makes it hard for us to receive love. So receiving his love means dealing with that stuff.
Yeah.
So that we can get it all, which means then we can pour it out.
Yeah. I'm going to end with a picture.
I have something to end on.
You have something to end on? Then you know
you
what?
Saw I'll
save it for next time.
You're gonna take my end.
No, I'm not
gonna
take it.
You told me I got to end, and then you saw him try to take it.
I'll save it.
You're gonna save it.
I'm gonna save it for another sermon. That's okay.
All right. You sure? You can say it. Just let me say my thing at the end.
No, you're good.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You saw I was gonna let him say it. I was gonna grumble a little bit. I was gonna let him say it. All right. So my final point is this. Once again, something I heard from my aunt, because I'm stealing from her all over the place today.
Amen.
And she stole this from someone else, because I feel like I should say that. We've just been hearing stuff and just regurgitating it, but I'm trying to be honest and give credit where credit is due. Your success in this life depends on your ability to take action on the invisible. Everything that is seen comes from something that is unseen. Your success in this life, naturally and spiritually, is dependent on your ability to take action on that which is invisible. The Lord is moving. Our minds, our emotions, our will are not visible things. And so it's really easy for us to think, to get caught up in reacting. And any time when what the inputs that we touch and we feel and we taste and we experience with our natural selves and our natural body is what guides our behavior, that is a reaction. And so it's really tempting for us to go through our life solely in a state of reacting to the stimulus that comes in around us. But in order for us to have true life before the Lord, to have true success before the Lord, to be the highest calling and expression of who he has called and made you to be, we must not be reactors. We must be actors and acting on that which is unseen and moving all around us, not reacting to the turmoil or the stimulus of what we see. And so on that point, Lord, I'm gonna pray this one because this is my favorite one. Father, fill us with the knowledge of your will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, fill us with the knowledge of your will. That we would walk worthy of you, Lord. Every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year that we walk on this earth, let us walk worthy of you. That we would be fully pleasing to you. That you would find pleasure in the things that we do and in the things that we say. That we would be fruitful. That we would express and show forth and demonstrate your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control in every good work. For each one of us in this room, for each one of us who is listening through the online or at a later point, pray that we would increase in the knowledge of God. That we'd be strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power that raised Christ from the dead, that power would work in our hearts and strengthen us, that we would have all patience, not just some patience, God, but all patience and long suffering with joy. And Father, we thank you. Fill our hearts even more with thankfulness because you have qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You and only you deliver us from the power of darkness, and you have conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of your love. in whom we have redemption through your blood, through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins. Strengthen us to walk worthy of you this week, Jesus. Amen.